Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ share number 149. That's Bais Pnimi Joint share number 149. We're talking about 13 things mentally strong people don't do by Amy Morin. The fourth one is that they don't become martyrs or karbonis. They don't deem themselves as karbonis. Surveys shown that 47% of people feel resentful about all the work they do and the sacrifices they make for their relationship. And that creates a whole gamut of unhealthy resentments. Now, the truth be told is that in some marriages where it's extremely uneven and one is actually doing all the work and the other one's doing nothing, you know, or those type of situations do happen, you know, but in almost all marriages, this is a chronic complaint of the self-absorption in a certain way of each individual thinking that they're the ones that sacrificing everything when really there's a healthy balance of seeing two sides of it. And the idea of also of giving, which we talked about, the Mifta Melio, the famous one about the purpose of marriage is to be a noisin and to give and ahav and chesed, it's all emes. But as we mentioned in the Svarim that we brought with when we talked about the Shurim by Moshe Shachadowitz and other Svarim, that it needs a Shikal Hadas because one needs to be makabel in a healthy way too. And one needs to accept things from their spouse. And one needs to express legitimate needs also. And that's a healthy thing. Never to do that and always say you're going to be a nice thing is not healthy either. Now, she brings wonderful anecdotes with couples. Sometimes in many, many of these types of books, they bring like long-winded stories and it gets convoluted. Here, she really does a great job at going to the crux of it. So I'm going to mention it here. The husband and wife, Kevin and Leah. I don't know if they're not Jewish, it seems, in this particular story here. But the idea is like this. They call the office to set up couples therapy. And he said, Kevin, that him and his wife, Leah, argued a lot, need to communicate, and they sat next to each other, which was a good sign. And because sometimes in therapy, couples, they sit far away as possible. But over here, they were near each other. And they just were waiting to share their respective viewpoints. And Leah thought Kevin didn't value family time enough, and Kevin thought that Leah expected too much of him. So here's an example, and this will resonate with people, even though they're not in this particular matzav. But you'll see what I mean here. Kevin owned a construction company. Leah was a stay-at-home mom, parents for two boys. So Kevin's long days as entrepreneur and a construction company manager was difficult for him to attend his kids' after-school activities, but he did his best to try to go to every single one. But he thought that his wife, Leah, did not appreciate the sacrifices he made for their family. He earned a good income, did his best to be present by the family activities, but she complains if I'm 20 minutes late to a soccer game, you know, that the kids obviously were playing in. She doesn't care that in order to make the game in the first place, I have to skip three meetings, make business calls during halftime, and have to rush back to work when the game is over. That's the husband's take. Yes, I'm 20 minutes late, but see what mesiras nefesh I had to get here. Leah, on the other hand, her take was that, you know, after he takes an hour or two to attend the kids' events, Kevin always reminds me how much work he's going to have to make up, and as if I should feel guilty that he's at his kids' game. He talks about how hard he has to work to support us, but he doesn't recognize that because he's working all the time, I'm left to do everything in the house. So Kevin thought Leah would applaud his efforts, and Leah was tired of hearing how overwhelmed he felt. You know, and then she'll respond, you know, if he doesn't think how overwhelming it is to manage a household and raise kids on your own while you're working all the time. Sometimes I feel like a single parent. So that's the concept here. And then the wife, Leah, said Kevin seemed to be annoyed whenever she asked for help. Just the other day, she says, I asked him to put some boxes in the attic. And he said, why not? I do everything else around here. But he doesn't. I'm the one who does everything around the house. And Kevin admits he gets upset when she asks for his help, you know, and he gets annoyed because she disrupts his concentration when he's working. And she acts like everything's an emergency and I have a lot of work to do. And Kevin in the weekend does paperwork for the company at home. Leah offers to help, but he refuses to help. Leah has a degree in business, feels she could be very capable of managing Kevin's paperwork. That'll give him more time to spend with the family. And Kevin insists, I'd rather do it myself. It's easier for me to do it myself. Kevin turns down opportunities to do fun things, even when this paperwork is done. I have a job, I have a responsibility, and they fight about who's the toughest, who has it the toughest. This is the martyr syndrome that we talked about. Who has it more rough? Is it the father? Is it the mother? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? And they each one feel that they get that they got the raw end of the deal. So this is the idea, you know, of when you know that you have this problem of martyr syndrome. You know, if you argue about who's suffering the most, or who has the more mesiris nefesh for the marriage, or that you sometimes feel resentful how much I do for the relationship, and we argue about who contributes the most to the relationship or to the household, how I sacrifice more than my fair share of things than you did, or my efforts aren't appreciated, or I constantly abandon my own needs for the relationship and for the family, and so on and so forth. So here's an example of Kevin and Leah being caught in an unhealthy pattern. He complains that he's suffering. She's insisting she's suffering as much, and they didn't validate each other's feelings because they were both caught up in arguing who had things worse. That is what martyrdom is. Who has things worse? And they feel invalidated with each other. That makes the pain even worse and causes them to grow resentful of each other. Now, it is true, healthy relationships require sacrifice. Sometimes even big sacrifices. You know, you dreamed of a certain fame or to go in a certain direction, but you have to pay your bills, so you're mice and nefesh to work at a certain type of job that you may not enjoy so much, or even then not enjoy at all in many cases, just to, you know, do your shtadlis to support a family. So martyrs basically insist on showing their partners that they suffer the most. That's what they do. And being a martyr is tough because you'll never feel as though your efforts will be recognized enough. And being in the relationship with a martyr is tough because it's impossible to remove the burden that your spouse is insist on carrying. And ask those questions. You know, do you make enough sacrifices in the relationship? Does your spouse make enough sacrifices for the relationship? Does your spouse insist that they make too many sacrifices? So why do we become martyrs? Why? You know? So in this case with Kevin, he came to the children's soccer game 20 minutes late. So what did he expect his wife to say to him, Leah? Something like, thank you so much for making this happen. I know you tried so hard to be here. But instead, what happened is Leah lectured him, why are you so late? But what he really needed was that validation. It's so special that you came here and took out time from your busy work schedule to be here. Even though you were a little late, I appreciate you making the effort to be here. You know, and then in turn, he would list ways of which going to the game would set him behind, and he would have to work late, so he puts on the guilt trip on her. Also not healthy. And he feels frustrated that Leah didn't appreciate that he spends his weekends doing paperwork for the business. Now, what about his resistance to letting Leah help? So first he said it's easier if he did it himself, but eventually he thought that his role was to earn money, and if he let Leah help, it means that he was failing at his job. And since Leah never acknowledged his hard work, he felt he needed to prove to her that he was making huge sacrifices and suffering along the way. So this is the idea. This is the complex thing about getting confused about what healthy sacrifice is and when you're overdoing it. When is over ishtadlus? Very often, people have unhealed childhood wounds, and therefore they bury that and they don't take care of that, and they end up using those wounds to withdraw or do other things like that. So the idea is that martyrs suffer for no real reason. You know, let's say, you know, I stayed up till 2 in the morning cleaning up the house. Don't do that. you know, the world won't become a better place if you stay up till 2 a.m. to clean up the house. Let it be a little messy when you go to sleep. Nothing, it's not the end of the world. Sometimes a martyr is looking for recognition. Look how good I am. Look how much I'm wasting nefesh, and so on and so forth. So anyone wants attention. There's nothing wrong with wanting healthy type of acknowledgement and attention, but sometimes people take this a little too far. So in this case, the mental health of exercising your strength, your mental strength, in not being a martyr is to validate your husband's feelings or your wife's feelings. So in this case, Leah learned to validate Kevin's feelings. So she held back now. Instead of saying he didn't need to work so much, she started acknowledging the pressure that he felt. And Kevin appreciated being heard. And this time when Leah offered to help, Kevin worked on how to accept that help. In one therapy office 1 week, Leah said, "You work long hours and it's stressful for you. I want to help. But when I offer to help, you don't let me. And it leaves me feeling bad that there's nothing you want me to do. And we both get frustrated." So here is, for the first time, Kevin acknowledged that he had trouble accepting help. And Leah shared that she wanted to help him reduce the load. So this is the idea. Kevin would work on asking for help when he needs help. And she will work on acknowledging him. So this is the idea. So this martyrdom could sometimes come in the form of marriage. Sometimes it's in the workplace that you're a martyr. That you always think it's never good enough. And you have to also reframe your thoughts. You have to reframe your thoughts. If you have an unrealistic thought, no one ever helps me. A realistic thought, you have to counter it and say, no, sometimes people are willing to help. Especially if I ask for it. An unrealistic thought would be, I can't let my partner help because they never do anything right. A realistic thought is, I could let them help them, and they may do different things that are different than I do. Sometimes you say, I got things all done tonight and my spouse doesn't care at all. And the realistic thought is, I choose to do this work tonight if I want. I may feel more pressure to get it done than my spouse does, but that's fine. Also, the idea of asking for help when you're overwhelmed and accepting that help. That's very, very important, you cite, in order to do that. But you have to make that decision that you don't want to act like a martyr. And you don't want your spouse to act that way either. And that's very, very important. You don't have to agree with your spouse's feelings, but you could validate them regardless. That's very, very important to understand and to know. To validate each other's feelings. Not to be a martyr. Not to be a martyr. In this case, Kevin complained about the weight that he was carrying was too heavy. And Leah had empathy and said, because of that load, I will help you with your paperwork. I will help you. So that's the idea. And they acknowledge each other like teamwork. When you do that, you will thrive and you will heal. That's a very, very important insight. There may be times where you're not being a martyr, but you're legitimately overwhelmed by the tasks that you need to do. So you try your best. You try your best. And the idea being is, don't be a martyr in the sense that you refuse the kindness from each other. It's extremely important to be a makabalosa, like we said in the beginning. If your wife or husband wants to give you and give and give, you need to learn to accept. And that acceptance is the best gift you could possibly give to your husband or your wife. That's a very, very important insight. It's tremendous, tremendous chesed. Sometimes this martyrhood traces back to childhood, where people as children did not feel appreciated or validated, or they fear that they don't have what to offer. And that triggers them to really feel that way when they're with people as well. And that's very important. The self-care also, one needs to learn not to be ashamed of self-care. So you want to be a martyr and be mice and nefesh, that's great, but sometimes you have to take a step back and say, I can't handle it now. I can't handle it now. I need to take it easy. I need to sleep more. I need to rest. And the self-care, that's so important. It sounds like it's a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's not a weakness at all. That's a very, very important insight. You need to ask for help, and you accept kindness from each other, and you're vulnerable. And don't be a martyr. Don't have that mindset. It's a teamwork. You do the best you can as you go along, and you trust Hashem, and you help, and you put your faith in Hashem, and you ask Him for siyata d'shmaya in this area as well. Not to become a martyr, but rather appreciate everything that's been given to you, and to accept help when help is needed, and accept taking it easy when you need to take it easy. And so that's a very, very important, strong, a thing that mentally strong couples don't do. And that is, they don't become martyrs. They don't view themselves as karbanas. Bracha v'atzlacha.